is that we can get more time to assuming that the musicians have their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Amen. It's good to see all these young people. I think, as I said last week, you know, if there isn't tomorrow, that's the church for tomorrow. Having them in the house of God is the best place to bring them. You know, the Lord can touch them. You never know. You might have another who knows what, you know, Dwight Moody or whatever. You know, you might have somebody that the Lord would really just use. And we know that the history is closing out, but we just want to keep pressing on. So maybe the Lord touch one of these. If there isn't tomorrow, they might do something great for the Lord. We believe that. Amen. How many's happy today?
Amen.
This is our day.
Amen.
Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Not just Sunday, but this is our age. This is the hour that we make it happen. God is expressing himself through us. But today's our day, and so we get to be in the house of the Lord with those that we love and have fellowship, and we just want to cherish those times. Amen. And so we're going to open our Bibles. I have a rather lengthy reading this morning, and so I probably will read a while and then have you go ahead and sit down after we pray and then read some more. But I don't know how to do it any other way this morning, but to read the scriptures there that I feel need to be read as a basis for what I want to share this morning. And today I'm just entitled this to love the Lord with all your heart. Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, I want to read verses 1 through 25. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, unto their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their household, and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession, and in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great things, the great acts that the Lord which he hath did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether ye go to possess it. And that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from which ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in the field for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your day may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. And every place wherein the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we, in our hearts, by faith, we know this is a place that's sanctified for your presence and the time. Lord, by faith, we make this a holy gathering, Lord, because we're dedicating ourselves, our voice and our ears to your word this morning. Lord, we don't want to just be here as in ourselves. We know we're not. We know you're here, but we ask, God, that you would find liberty. Lord, you'd find believing hearts. You'd be able to come, Lord, and speak and move however you would desire, that your word, you break the bread of life today, and Lord, that each one of us would go away blessed. We want to be in your presence, Lord, not just the presence of one another. And we know, God, that it is you. You are the glue that holds us together. We love you, Lord, and we just ask for your blessings upon this gathering today. Send your word out to those that will be streaming. Seated. I want to read another scripture in Luke chapter 12, verse 42 to 48. And I want to give just a preface to that. Luke chapter 12, so you'll have it up here. This is where the Lord is speaking about how that when there would be servants, and the Lord would go and leave and go far away journey, be gone for a while, and when this Lord would come back and he would find his servants doing what they're supposed to do. He would not come back and find them slothful or anything like that. He's speaking of that, and he tells what would happen if he does come back and find them slothful. And so this is where Jesus is speaking this. And so he said, and the Lord said, who then is this faithful and wise servant, or steward, excuse me, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Amen. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that kneweth not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. Here's what I want to get to. For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will asked the more. And I want to have a quote I want to read where Brother Branham speaking of this scripture here. And it's a sermon called What is the Holy Ghost Given For? Brother Branham was speaking and says, now notice, he goes back in history here about Luther and Wesley. He's coming forward. He said, now notice what's taking place. God pouring himself into them. Now the church has gotten to a place from Luther and Wesley, and the revival is on the Pentecost, on to Pentecost. And now into this age that we're coming now, by the same Holy Spirit, just more of it. Now when the Lutherans back there got saved, they got a portion of the Holy Spirit. And when the Methodists got sanctified, that was a work of the Holy Spirit. See, it was a part of the Holy Spirit. They without us is not made perfect, says the scriptures, see. And now God, as the light has begun to shine in the last days, he's talking about our days now, as the light has begun to shine in the last day, he's expecting us a great thing from us, because where there's much given, there's much required. So he's going to require much more of us than he did of the Lutherans or the Methodists, because we walk in a greater light and with a greater power and with a greater witness than they had. Now we have a greater witness of the resurrection. We have things more firmer. I'm just reading what he said. We have things more firmer and more sure than they had. Amen?
Right.
Didn't heard any amens in there. Just kind of quiet. You're probably wondering where I'm going with this. Well, I'm not going somewhere where I'm going. I'm going where he's going. Amen? So, these all tie together. Really wanted to spring off of this here where the Lord says to where whom more is given, more is required.
Right.
You know, I believe that this message, those the true followers of this message, truly, because I know there's a lot of people in messages like we know that just really haven't gotten experience with God yet.
Right.
But truly, those who really follow in this message, I believe they're the bride of Christ.
Right.
Right? I believe. You know, and even if I didn't, I would want to believe, but I believe you are part of that group.
Right.
I believe that we are. And it would be a very foolish thing for me to stand here and share and preach and push something that I really didn't believe in. That'd be foolish.
Right.
And listen, I realize, you know, people can be deceived, right? And I don't, you know, a person that's deceived wouldn't, you know, maybe not, they don't know it, right? Surely they wouldn't know. But the things that I share to you, I don't share these things haphazardly. I see these things. I see it in the Word. I search things out. God has blessed me to see it. And same way with Brother Daniel, we share with you these things that we see that is God's Word. And so, yeah, you could say somebody, I'm sure you wouldn't, but people outside would say, yeah, well, you're just deceived, Brother Tony. Well, I'm comfortable with what I see happening in my life and how this word is being revealed and with enough conviction to preach it to you. And if it was me wrong, then I'd be guilty of all that too,
right?
So I'm not taking this haphazardly. I say these things because I see them in the word, and I feel an obligation as a minister of the gospel, a requirement to share with you these things that we see. That's why God gives it to you. Gives it to a minister is to go and share those things. And of course, you know, if God's called him to do it, he's got somebody who'll listen to it. So we're thankful. Amen? Thankful for every one of you. I'm thankful for Brother Daniel and his ministry in this church and all everyone that has their part. I am thankful that God brings a people together that we can sojourn here on this earth together, knowing that we're going to be together over there. And you might not like me so much now, but you will there. Amen. I hope you do here. I'm not much to look at. I'm not real dynamic. But I'm just glad that the Lord has brought us together.
Amen.
And so I believe the true followers of this word, this message now, is the bride of Christ. And I believe the bride of Christ is a fully mature woman. Because we're at the time now where it is marriage time and you don't marry a child. You know, I believe she's, and so I believe in this hour that she's a mature woman, and so I speak to you as such. I speak to you. We're able to say things to you couldn't say to other churches, other peoples outside of the message. We do that. We realize we're in a special place in God. And so far be it from me and Brother Daniel the Wonders to hold back and not declare the whole counsel. Right? Far be it to us to do that. We want to pour our hearts out to you, and everything that God can put on us, we want to share it with you, because, like I said, we feel responsible to do it. And so we speak to you as such, believing that you are the bride of Christ, and believing that you are fighting the battles to overcome and make the full expressions of the bride of Christ in this hour that we are to make. And so it's not time for us to back off and water down and pull away from truth. It's now time, like for the grain, to sit right there and look right into the sun and let that sun bake all the greenness out of us. That's what hour we're in. It's not a time to slack off.
Right.
And yet we see it. We see people slacking off all over the place.
Right.
But this is not the time to do that. Amen? So I speak to you as such, and I feel like that we've come to a place kind of like what we've read here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, because the Lord said there to Moses, rehearsing and all the things that happened, and so God speaking through Moses, Moses says, hey, I'm not speaking to your children who don't know these things. I'm speaking to you because you do know. You have seen these things. You have seen the power of God. And that's what I say to you. I can't say things like that out there in the world, because maybe they don't know what God has done in our day. But I'm speaking to you who do know. You do know the things that God has done and how he's brought forth the prophetic ministry and all the just one thing after another, supernatural event after another for history for years, unfolding. And even after the prophet's gone, still unfolding mightily, just showing that it's God. And you've seen that. Right? You've seen that and you know these things. And if you've been slacking off and you don't really know, shame on you.
Right.
Listen, I feel this morning just to set the hook, as it would. And so you're still responsible.
Right.
Because this word is available in every form. I mean, you can come to church. You got a church in your community and it has services, and you can be there. You can come, you can listen, you can stream, you can read your Bible, you can listen to it, you can listen to your Bible, you can listen to the prophet, you can listen to us.
Right.
And if you're not tuning into these things, God still holds you responsible. If you call this your home church and you're not tuning in when you miss it, he still holds you responsible for it, because this is the body you belong to.
Right.
And you're responsible for that. And I'm responsible to you. Brother Daniel's responsible to you, right? So we understand that. You know, what if we in the ministry, what if we just, you know, kind of hit and miss? Well, you wouldn't put up with that, right? What if your body, you wake up one day and your leg just don't want to do nothing? You wouldn't put up with that. You understand what I'm saying? That's how serious it is, right? That's exactly what it is. And so I feel like we've come to this place where we say the same thing. That, you know, he went back and he said, you know, your children, maybe they didn't see these things. They didn't look at the mighty powers of God and what he's done down through the ages to bring you to this place where we are now, is what he's saying. And I say the same thing to you. Maybe people out there don't know, but God has let you see what he's done through the ages, how he's taken his word and brought the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was unfolding through every age, but now he's revealed it. And we can look and go back and see absolutely perfectly from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of time all the way to this day, and we can see the unfolding of that word and see that that word is fell right here in our lap and God's committed it to us. So we do know. And because we do know, we're more responsible. He requires something from us because we know these things. And he does. He requires more from us than he will others who may not know. Now, he's a just God, and he knows what they've come across and what they've rejected, but he also knows what we've come across and what we're dealing with it.
Right.
So we are responsible. And so I speak to you that from that standpoint, because you have seen, we've seen how God has done these things. So here in, and I'll just be pointing back to verses there. You don't have to put that up there. You can just listen. But it's verses we read, and I'm bringing them to show you that we're in the same situation here. That God has promised something for our day, and he expects us a certain response from us. And so he says in verse 8, you know, therefore if you'll keep these commandments, if you shall keep all these commandments which I commanded to you this day, that you may be strong and you be able to go to possess the land where you go to possess it. And so, in other words, for us, if we'll, he's shown us these things and he's committed these things to us, and therefore, if we'll keep the revelation God has given us, he's brought us here for a reason, so that we can possess a position in his kingdom. And so he's telling us that if you'll keep this revelation, in other words, these things that God has shown you, if you'll put that in front of you, let that be first. Then if you'll do those things and be diligent to that, to the revelation, then you will be strong and you'll be able to go in and possess this thing that God has brought us to. You'll be able to do that. But it's what we do with these commandments. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments so much, but I'm talking about as God has unfolded this message to us, he has brought commandments of, hey, this is what the bride is to be.
Right?
And he's brought that to us. And so if we'll keep these things and we'll love these things, love what the Lord is doing, like the scripture said, those that love his appearing. If we love these things, then we'll be able to go in and be strong and take this land. Because listen, outside of the revelation, we don't have strength to take this land. We don't have strength for our body change.
Right.
We don't have strength to fight this culture to make sure that our children go with us. But with the revelation, with what God has commanded that he expects us to hold on to, we can be strong and we can take this land and we can possess it and live long in it. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what he's telling us there. We can possess a rapture. We can possess the token. We can possess all of our family, our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones being saved. Why? Because he promised it. See, the children of Israel standing back over here, and that promised land, everything that God said it to be, it's there. Right for us. Rapture's there. Right? Token life is there. Overcoming, our children, our family, it's all there. God put it there. And he told us it's there. And he says, if you'll keep these things I've delivered to you, you'll be able to possess those things, be strong. And so he tells us in verse 10, just paraphrasing there, says, this land, this place that God is taking you to, it's not like what you've experienced thus far. It's not like Egypt where you've been, where in Egypt there were limitations. And in Egypt, as we read there, in Egypt you had to, it wasn't a land that was, there was a lot of rain and so forth. They had to plant their seeds and so forth, and they had to water it with their foot, as the scripture said. They didn't get a lot of rain, so they had to pump water, haul water, man had to do something to be able to survive and grow. And so God is saying, look, this place that I'm taking you to is not like that.
Right.
This place I'm taking to you to is a place that God has his eyes on 24/7. From the beginning of the year to the last of the year, he has his eyes on that to make sure that it will produce 100% of everything that's supposed to be in that land that he promised would be there. He's watching over it, and he's taking it all out of the hands of man and saying, you're not going to have to go over there and water it with your foot. God's going to take care of this movement. God's going to make things happen there. And all you're just going to go over and you're going to be able to be partakers of that. And so what he's saying there is that because God has his eyes upon it and he's making this happen, he's going to make sure that land produces everything for you that it's supposed to. Because you know, part of the curse, right? Now it's going to have thorns and all these things are going to come up and it's not going to yield its full fruit to you because of the fall. But in this land, what he's talking about, God's going to take you to a place there where all these things are taken care of. And I'm paralleling that to where God is bringing us now. We're coming into a realm and a time and a movement where we don't have the limitations we had prior. We're coming to a place where God's going to make things happen like we've never experienced.
Right.
Amen? If you remember how we come through time and we come through the seven church ages, and at the end of the seven church ages, if God had not sent the prophet and sent the Lamb to come and open the book, the seven sealed book, would be stuck in seven church ages. But God produced a breach that we can pass through and come on into eternity. Right? To come into a place where God's doing things that they didn't experience. That's why the prophet illustrated it when he said, John, come up hither. He said, God saying, John, I'm not working down there anymore in those seven church ages anymore. You come up here where I'm doing something. And that's what I'm saying. We're not coming to another land just like Egypt where everything's the same and you're defeated all the time and you're just struggling. We're coming to a place where God's going to do things and he's going to fulfill his promise and we're going to be partakers of it if we'll keep these things that he's committed to us. Amen. So it brings us to a place where that land will yield all of its blessings to us. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly.
Right?
Right? Not just a little bit, but all everything that life should give to you.
Yeah.
He's come, so it wouldn't be just natural life, but it would be eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. Who do you think that's for? Who do you think that's for his bride?
Right.
Amen? How many is ready for a more abundant life?
Amen.
Amen, I am. You get tired of this world. But he's promised us a more abundant life. So he tells us there, he says in verse 13, if you will hearken diligently to my commandments this day. Right? I want to emphasize that. If you will hearken to the things that God has committed to us in this day, not telling you not to commit, not to diligently the things of the previous messages, Luther, Wesley, but if we will hearken diligently to what God has done in our day, if you'll hearken diligently to that, to those things, and to love it, to love what God has done, to love the Lord with God with all your heart, to love his appearing, to love his manifestation. We love to see his word manifest, right? So if we will hearken to those things and let them have first place in our life, amen?
Right.
And serve him with all of our hearts and with all of our soul, these things will come to pass. You know, and we've seen, I didn't pull it up, Jeremiah 29. We read there so many times where it says that in the day that you seek the Lord with all your heart, that's the day you'll find him. Amen? That's still true today. That's still true today. But what if you're seeking the Lord only part way? Amen? But seeking with all your hearts. Amen. Serve him with all your hearts. In other words, be diligent to put in action what God has committed to us. He may not have committed it. He hasn't committed message to the rest of us. There's millions of people that haven't heard what you've heard. Right? But he has us. Amen. So to love him with all your heart and with all your soul. Yeah, I think when I read that, I think about what I've been sharing recently about loving and serving the Lord. Not in necessarily your flesh. Not necessarily. It's coming your way, sister. I'll take your shoe off and get it. That way people not serve, not try to serve the Lord in your flesh or in your, or in, even in your spirit, right? But to serve the Lord from your soul. Where the prophet told us that we have five senses in the flesh and five in the spirit. But in the soul, you either have faith there or you don't have faith. You either have a gene of God there or you don't have a gene of God there. And if that gene of God is there, that is a deposit of God that believes in the scripture said that's never has sinned. Brother and sister, I don't want to identify with the failure parts of me. I want to find the God part of me. And I want to identify with that. And I want to know that that's who I'm trying to share and express to the world. We all have failures. Forget that. Find that thing inside you that is God, that identifies, that believes this word. And from that realm, from that soul realm, that realm, as we've been saying, that realm where God is and where all things are possible, and that place where devils can't come because it's a heavenly thing. From there, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Connect with him from that. And serve him from there. Not try to serve him and do more in your flesh so much, but serve him from a believing heart down inside, down in your soul. To come out and where that attribute comes out. Believing from there, where all things are possible. And so, it says, if you'll do this, then you'll prosper in this land. Well, we understand, you know, that the promised land to them is this equivalent to the promise in the Holy Ghost to us. But you have to understand that as in every age, Luther, when they had their revival, that was the Holy Spirit. Wesley, that was the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, that's the Holy Spirit. And you have to understand that as these things move on, it's the Holy Spirit, but he's moving, going forward with his presence. And so we understand that even for Luther to come into the just shall live, that was a land, that was a promised land laying there to him. Right? And so I just want to show you that we're in this hour where we're blending from time into eternity. This blending of going from time into eternity is our land. We just happen to be the people who are here for a body change. Previous ages weren't, but this is the promise of God for the hour. These things, that is our promised land. God has brought this to us. We've seen these things. We've seen how he's brought us to this place. And so he expects a certain response for us. And with that response, we can possess all of these things, a body change and all the things that he said we could have.
Right.
Amen. So if we do this, we can prosper and we can take this land. You know, the scripture said there in verse 16, take heed that you be not deceived, that you don't start serving other gods and so forth. And, you know, it comes to mind right now. Do you know when people begin they get really blessed, they get really comfortable, then they're less likely to cry out to God. It's a fact. Right? And it's just, you know, when things go rough and things are pressuring, you're more apt to spend time in prayer and seeking God because you're going through something.
Right.
Right? And so, but God deserves us to seek him and to honor him all the time.
Right.
But it is a fact that humans are like that. And here we are now, we live in the most comfortable age that's ever been on the face of the earth. And so we have to admit that wars against how much that we would seek God. And yet God has said that in this hour, he's going to have a people who will seek after him.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And so he said, take heed that you be not deceived. And so in other words, take heed that you don't stop seeking the Lord, that you don't stop loving his appearing, that you don't let this message become common to you where it doesn't move you anymore.
Right.
See, you know, you can do things to keep this thing moving in your heart.
Right.
You can do things that make it to where it doesn't burn in your heart because you're letting things get in the way.
Yeah.
And so he's telling them, listen, when you start moving over there and when you start enjoying these blessings and as these manifestations begin to come forth and you begin to enjoy the message of the hour for them and things are going good and God starts to bless you and begin to see things, make sure that you are diligent not to become relaxed and not to get to the place where somehow Satan gets you to thinking, well, it's okay, we don't really have to. We can kind of cool off, and it really does. The message really doesn't require that of us. You see what I mean?
Right.
Make sure you don't let it become common to you, and you start slacking off, and start laying out of being in church and being diligent to the things of God. Make sure that as you enter into these things, to be diligent, not to let them slip. You know, the scripture tells us. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Right? That's what it tells us. It says, even the more so as you see that day approaching. Amen. And you see, not just in message, but all across Christian church attend, people are just not, they're just not going. Amen. There's something wrong. So, because of these things, he's saying, you know, because of these things, when you see what God has done, then be more diligent. Gather together more often. Look for ways to serve God. Look for ways to make an avenue for God to bless you. You got to give God something that he can move on. He can't move off of, he can't bless you if you are not giving him something he can bless. In other words, if you're conducting your lives contrary to his word, you're doing things contrary to his word, he can't come in and bless you with that.
Right.
And he's not going to compromise. So we've got to make room and always make a place for him that everything you do, look for ways to include God in it.
Amen.
Right? When you go to make a decision, look to God to make sure that, hey, put him in that decision. Say, Lord, what did you say? What would you think? What would be your leadership on this? Whatever it is, look for ways for God to be in your Saturday and your Sunday. We think, oh, it is Sunday. But in your Monday, in your Tuesday. As I was saying the other day, that in order for God to redeem us, he had to come down, and he has. He's come down, and he's the housewife. He's the car salesman. He's the IT man. He's the plumbers. He's the managers or whatever it is. It's his life. He desires to come down and be those things. And he is through us. Right? And so in every aspect of our lives, make room for him. Find ways to put God in it. Because he deserves it. He wants to help you in those things. Amen. And so, look for ways for him to be God. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by letting Satan move into that realm that belongs to you, as we talked the other day. Your domain that belongs to you. Because, you know, I don't want to come across as harsh, but you know, Brother Ramirez said you got to set the hook or you got to clench the nail to make it stay there, right? So you can drive it on in. Because how many's ever building something like that and you set the nail and it don't set good and when you hit it, it flies off or something like that. You got to set it so that you can continue on with your project. And so, you know, we have this thing. I know we in the message, we are a blessed people. We know God has done great things, but we've also got into a situation where I think there's a lot of people that think that God's wrath can't be kindled against them. Now, I know God's wrath, as we're talking about tribulation period, wrath upon the wicked, but God can become angry at a person. We read it in the Bible. He can become angry when they don't do what they're supposed to do. And so I just want to make it clear that people understand that if you're God's child, he has a rod of correction. And when we know that we're not doing things that God wants us to do, and then all of a sudden things don't go right. And then we start going through troubles and trials and things like that, and we have the audacity to stand back and say, what's going on? What's happening? What's this? You have to understand that God knows how to correct.
Right.
And I think people's like, well, you know, I can just what it. Well, don't be surprised if you're compromising. Don't be surprised that things start happening and things aren't going right. And it's not God trying to drive you away. It's God trying to bring you back.
Right?
See, it's not, you say, oh, that's just a jealous God. He just being a, you know, that's not what it is at all. When God is the only source of life there is, and he loves you, and he knows that the only way that you can have an eternal future is to be part of him. Then if he loves you, he's going to get involved to make sure you're part of him. And thank God for it. Because all those that are his sons, they're all corrected. We all receive chastisement. So, you know, here we are in this hour where God is calling us to be, to respond to him with all this that he has shown us. And shown that he's brought this gospel all the way down, and we have the opportunity to be that bride because he's laid it right in our laps, and then we're going to stand back and just kind of halfway with it. If we are ordained to be that bride, if we're ordained to be sons coming to adoption, then he's got to get involved and begin to put pressure on our lives and move us and make us come around to the place where we're fulfilling what he, because he loves us.
Right.
Amen. Thank God for it. That's why David can say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because you know that if God will get involved in your life, it's because he loves you. Because you belong to him. Amen. And so I just kind of want to say, you know, hey, this is not a time to compromise. God has committed a lot to us. A lot that he has shown us, and a very important position that he has said, you can be this. You know, the scriptures, I know that we don't buy our redemption, right? But the scripture does say you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to remind everybody, even in the message, everybody in this church, every one of you, every one of us, there is a struggle that we have to go through. We all have to be like Jacob and wrestle with God until something happens. We can't get in on grandma or mama's coattail or dad's. Everyone has to come to the place where you reach God and you know you've walked away different. You might be limping, right? I trust that when God gets a hold of your life and you seek him with all your heart and you find him and he touches you, you will walk different.
Right.
And you'll know that you're walking different. And you'll be glad you walk different. I'm pretty sure that when Jacob walked away limping from that wrestling with God, he might have been hurting. He might have been having to limp. But I bet you inside he's like, praise God. I've got it. I've got the promise. Right? So, expect God to change it. Expect God to take sin and things out of your life. Right? Expect that. That's the God he is. That's what this message is. Expect this message to take you out of nominal denominational teaching. Expect him to cripple you and all that so that you can walk with the promise.
Amen.
Expect that. But here we are in this hour. I just want people to understand that God can correct. Amen? We can't keep going on. People can't go on compromising and expect to come out on top. God will get involved with your life. Amen. I've said, Lord, if you've got to break a leg, break it. Right? What's better? What's better? Continue on, and like the scripture says, to continue on, and when you got a hand that offends you, it'd be better for you to have that hand cut off than to enter into hell, right? And you understand? And so, spiritually speaking, for God to move and strip things out of our lives. It'd be better for him to stop us from doing things we want to do that's contrary to him, and to be what looks like less in this world, but yet walking with the promise. Right? Because in this world, that's what it looks like to the world. Oh, what, you spend all your day Sunday fellowshipping? How come you're not out, on the river, going up and down the river in your boats and drinking and having a good time like all your work buddies do?
Right.
To them, it's foolishness. Yeah. Right? But to a believer, yeah, you're stripped from these things in this natural life, but you walk with the promise of God. Man, and so this verse 17 is telling us that God, that if they don't walk in these things, then God's wrath could be kindled against them, and he'd begin to pull his blessings. Begin to pull his blessings and find out that this message no longer is producing all that it said it would do. It's not the message, it's not the promised land that was a problem, it's the person's attitude toward that that becomes the problem. Amen. Don't be a stubborn child. Have you ever seen, I'm sure we all have, maybe some of them had children, a child that you correct them and they're stubborn? They're like, I'm not going to let this phase me. You know, a normal thing would be, hey, they do something wrong, you correct them and they correct. But, you know, a stubbornness was just buckle down and be that much more determined to be in error. Right? You know, the scripture said that's as the sin of witchcraft. Right? As the sin of witchcraft. Because God's not going to have you do that. And if you're doing that, it's an evil spirit causing it. Stubbornness. Led by evil things. So we don't, in spiritual matters, when God has called us and we've walked in this message and then we're pulling back and we're slacking off and we're not doing what we should do, and then God begins to let things come our way that don't feel so good. And we need to understand that's God. Because if you'll commit yourself to him in all your ways, he'll take care of you. He has promised a life of great things if you'll just stay with him. And so we don't want to be stubborn. If God begins to burn our barley fields, we need to realize, I need to submit to God. I need to surrender. Amen? Because if we don't, he knows how to make the trial even heavier. Right? Just want to say that, because we know we have a great message, but just want people to remember there's a tallying up that still has to be done. It's more than just saying, oh, I believe the message, but as the prophet said, we've got to cope with it.
Right.
We have to cope with it. We have to deal with it. And let it do what it's here to do. And so in verse 18 he says, now lay these words up in your heart and in your soul. Bind them for a sign upon your hands that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You see the language that he's talking about there. That here we are, God has brought us, and he's given us a revelation and telling us, here's what it is, and it'll take you forward, and you'll have a body change, and you'll have all these things, but you've got to cope with these commandments I've given you today. You've got to cope with this, and if you will, it'll take you on, and take you on into those things that God has said can be there. And so take these things and hide them in your heart, down into your soul. Let this be the thing that you're thinking about all the time. Right? This is what the scripture is telling them. Remember, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Right? So it's what's telling them, let this be, hide it down in your hearts, and so bind it upon your hand for a sign, and that it may be frontlets between your eyes. And the language there he's speaking of there is beginning to speak of the hour that we're in, wherein God is pouring out the seal of God, and without the seal of God, the option, other alternate is the mark of the beast. So he's telling you, take this message, hide it in your heart, let this be the mark that's in your hand, and let this be the mark that's in your forehead. And we know what that really is to bless it and to think on it, to support it. Let these things that I've brought to you, all this history, and I brought it down, and I'm telling you, you're the bride of Christ. Hide this in your heart, and let this be the thing that you bless, and let this be the thing you're thinking about all the time, and let this be the thing that you share with your children day and night. When you're sitting in your house, and when you rise up, and you're going out, and you're coming in, let this be the thing that you're sharing all the time and meditating on all the time. Not something else. Let this be the thing. Write it on the door. Write it on the gate so that when you're coming in and you're reminded. You're reminded of what God has done in your day and what He's called you to. Let this be. And so what we're looking at it here is, as it was in every age, you know, when Luther believed the message for his hour, that was a seal of God for him. Right? Wesley, that'd be a seal of God. Pentecost, outpouring of the gifts, seal of God. But in this hour, with the full revelation of the Word, that becomes the seal of God. It's the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit in the form of the present day revealed Word. Let that be the thing that consumes you. Let that be, I say, consume your thoughts, that you think about all the time, and let that become the mark in your hand, and that be the mark in your forehead. And without that, what do you get? Without the seal of God, what happens? The mark of the beast. Because we're sheep. We're going to be led. Right? We're going to be led. We're going to be influenced either from above or beneath. That's all there is to it. So I'm showing you, what is this Holy Ghost for this hour? What is the token for this hour? And it's all that God has brought to us and revealed to us and laid here. The commandments He's given to us to hold this message dear to our hearts. And quit compromising on it. And quit letting things get in the way where we're not keeping this before us. Because this becomes the seal of God to us. This is what we're marked. This is what we bless. This is what we think about. Listen, we've talked about this before. As a Christian, you know, a woman, a young lady, to be becoming married to the place to be married, and even after they're married, you know, I don't know, because I'm not a female, but I would think if it was like the man, that when you're entered into engagement and you've got a wedding date and you're thinking about it all the time. You're thinking about your wife, she's thinking about you, or to me, and she's thinking about you all the time. And you're making plans, and you're making provisions for that day. Am I right?
Right?
Some of these sisters aren't shaking their heads, yes. Sister, come on, is that right? Do you think about your wedding day? You're thinking about that, and the man too, right?
Right.
I worked at a grocery store here, and it come out in the newspaper, picture of me and my wife, and one of the bread delivery guys came up to me and said, "Where did you find her at?" You know, like, she's beautiful, you know? He said, what are you doing? You know, he had no idea that I could pick somebody that was pretty, you know? And so, but you think about it all the time. And as a Christian, when you give your heart to the Lord, brother, sister, if it's real, you're thinking about Him all the time.
Right.
All day. I go into, especially in traveling, airports and things like that, but when I can sit and watch people. I'm a people watcher, and you watch them, and I'm thinking to them, it's sad. I'm sitting here thinking about the Lord all the time. And you watch them, they're not. They're not concerned. And I'm just telling you that if even sitting in this message, in message believers, but if something's not got a hold to your heart and you're thinking on this word and it's constantly just, this is your life, this is your husband, then if that's not going on, there's something wrong with your experience. I'm not trying to tell you that you got to be like a minister, but I'm saying as believers that you would be constantly thinking about the Lord. And I say constantly, I don't mean every second, By, I mean, all day long, everything you do, the way you respond, the choices you make, am I pleasing to the Lord? And you're thinking about the Lord, and you think about church, and you want to serve, and you want to read, and you're thinking about Him. Right? This is what this is talking about. To take these things that God has committed to us in this hour as the bride of Christ, and let that be the thing that becomes the seal of God to us, because it is. And if we don't have that, if we don't have the seal of God, which is this word being made manifest and committed to us, that we walk into it and let that be what we're clothed with. Without that, there's only one thing left, and that is to be sealed with a system of unbelief.
Right.
Right? And the scripture said it would be in this hour. Amen?
Right.
So, you remember there in Ezekiel, I think Ezekiel 9, maybe it's not 9, I don't remember what chapter it is, but in Ezekiel, where the writer's inkhorn, the prophet, I'll read a quote here in just a little bit where the prophet talks about this, but that writer's inkhorn, and so they were said there was a man there or angel, whatever, and said, had a writer's inkhorn and said, yeah, now go into that city and put a mark on everyone who sighs and cries against the abominations done in the city. And so he went and did that, and after he marked all of them, then he came back and said, now, to the one who had his slaughtering weapon, said, now, go in that city, and you slay everyone who does not have that mark, that seal of the writer's inkhorn. Yeah. Go in and slay child, young, old, whoever it is. If they don't have that seal of God, they're going to be slain. Okay? And that we saw that there in Ezekiel. And so, Brother Branham, in the Feast of Trumpets, he refers back to that, and he's talking about in the fifth trumpet sounding, that under that fifth trumpet, this happens again in this day. This thing that happened with Ezekiel happens again. And in this day, there's a seal of God that goes forth. And then these creatures are allowed to come and to torment all who don't have that seal of God. You know, and people, were you trying to say that if people don't believe this man? I'm just telling you, he's shown you in his word what he's brought, and he's brought this to us, and let it be a sign in your hand and on your forehead. Let it be that mark. Let it be the thing that consumes you, your day. You're just constantly wanting to serve God and to please Him. Let that be, because without that, then you're in line for judgment. Right?
Right.
Amen. So we'll read Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 through 12. And the fifth angel sounded, and remember, whoa, three world wars. And after this first one, it says, oh, that first woe is over with. So this is in the hour of the first world war. When did Brother Branham come on the scene? When did God raise up a prophet? During this time, with a message to bring back to the church the seal of God. Amen? Fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Remember, Revelation is a book of symbols.
Right.
Okay? So these have spiritual meanings. But I want to point out here that in this hour, things were allowed to come on this earth that hadn't been here before. Right. And then you think about Brother Brown saying the name Elvis and Ricky. He said those names could not have been spoken before this day. So the influence behind that name, where did it come from? You see what I'm saying? Think about these things. This word. And so there's a smoke comes out of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power, which is with stingers, right? And it was commanded to them that they should don't go hurt the grass, because you know locusts, that's what they do. They eat green things. But not these. These weren't supposed to eat green stuff. They had a different purpose, right? All right. that they should not hurt the grass of the earth or mean any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. See why it's important to have the seal of God? And the seal of God is not just emotions. The seal of God is the present day Holy Ghost upon your life, manifesting the word for the hour. Like it was in every age. Right? Millions, thousands can shout and scream and not be this. But the bride of Christ must be this. Right? What I'm talking about. Amen. The day, and it said, and so given them that they should not kill, but they should torment men 5 months, and the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when they strike a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared to battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and the teeth as were the teeth of lions. And Brother Reb said, hair like women to torment women who cut theirs. Because she's not supposed to. And she's believed something that says she can, and there's torment that comes to a life that will accept something contrary to God's word. You can't have the seal of God and be accepting something contrary to his word. You can't have the seal of God and to take this message for a while and then back away from it. And say, well, I don't know. It don't work. It doesn't work. They had breastplates that were the breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and their stingers were in their tails, and they had power to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them. Right? They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. You know, the Catholic Church comes out of the bottomless pit, right? Remember that? So this is their king. And so it's not just the king of the Catholic Church, but it's for the daughters too, right? He's king over this. Yeah? I told you, it's not time to back off. It's time to believe. Right? They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name was Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there cometh two woes more hereafter. Woe, woe, woe. Three world wars. And this happened during the time of the first one. When did the prophet come on the scene? See what I mean? God's word is right. Whether people believe it or not,
right. It
is right. Amen. So, here's what the prophet said. And this is kind of hard to read because, you know, this is the way he reading after him. But he's speaking on this, we just read here. He said, who was it that killed the Jews? Who was it? Titus? Who was Titus? A Roman general. So when Titus went in, so let me back up for just a moment. When he says, Ezekiel, slaughtering weapons, seal, marking them. He says, that's happening again in our day. But he goes back and he said, it happened in the days of Jews when the Jews rejected Jesus. When Titus came in. It happened there too. At the end of their day, when they rejected what God did in their day. What happens in our day when people reject what God has done in our day? Same thing. Right? Same thing. So who was Titus? He was a Roman general. And here's what Roman general did. The blood rolled out of the gates down there up to slaughtered them, little women, children, everything. Didn't Ezekiel 9 say that he'd do that? Go through the midst of the city and set a mark on the people who sighed and cried, the Holy Spirit. And the rest of them were slaughtered. A slaughtered man come forth that would have been bound. He said, hold him until they went forth. And then they slaughtered everything that was there, little women, children, babies, and everything else. They were all slaughtered. History shows that in Jerusalem because of they rejected. Exactly. And here it is again repeating itself. In the under the fifth trumpet. And but he ties it over to ecclesiastical things. They're showing you it's a system of unbelief. And there it is, that ecclesiastical system coming right back, smothering out, trampling everything that's called God. And all they've got their systems and organizations and denominations, but that don't have nothing to do with the Bible. They'll tell you they don't even believe it. Unless you believe what the church says. That's what they claim. Brother Bam says, it's what God says. That's the word. And the bride is with the word. They're one. How can they be one? When the word that's written in there becomes you, and you become the word, you and the word become one. That's exactly what he promised. Then it interprets. He's, you know, how God interprets his word himself. See, God don't need an interpreter. They said, well, we interpret it like this. You've got no right to interpret it. God does his own interpreting. And God said, let there be light, and there would light, was light. Who interprets that? He said, a virgin would conceive, and she did. That don't need any interpreter. And it's already interpreted. God said these things would happen in this day, and it's so, and it doesn't need an interpreter. It's God, it interprets itself. Oh my. So you understand what he's saying there. These things interpret itself, and these things he said would come to pass, and they're coming to pass, and it's so. It doesn't matter what they say. It's still so because it's God's word. So we live in this our day and an hour where God is sealing his people, and then there's a mark of the beast happening also to those who do not have the seal of God. So let this word seal you. Amen. Teach it to your children at all times. Write it on your door. Listen, I know we like to have homes that look nice and decorated nice. I appreciate that. Men don't have that in them. I don't. I appreciate it. My wife does that. It makes the house look really nice, and I'm not against that. But I think it would be really wise if you needed to put scriptures up, if you needed to put quotes up and post them on the door to remind you. As you come and as you go, and as you clean the house and as you do the different things, remind you these promises. Because what happens is when it comes right down to battles that you're going through during each day, and you go into a battle and it's right then, that's probably the most likely the time you're not going to remember the promise. But remember these promises. Do things to make God part of every part of your day, the best you can do. To ask his blessings on the day and all the things that you're doing. Write them up on the doorpost, gates, the token. See, we write it on the doorpost. What was on the doorpost? The token. Right. Let this word be your token. Right? It's a life. It's a literal life that God has brought to us. Post them around your house. And if you do these things, as we get close to the end of the scriptures, if you do these things, you'll possess everything that God said you could. Everything that's in this land, you'll be able to possess it. And no enemy will be able to stand before you. We're in that hour. We've got to believe this. God has pulled out all stops, as it were. No enemy, no trial that comes before us. We have a promise that no enemy can stand before us if we'll just hold to this word. Amen? And you know, I believe God, you know, God knows what he's doing, and he didn't just say, well, you know, but he has demonstrated it. He's demonstrated, even just in the life of the prophet, that he has demonstrated in his life even a body change up on the mountain. Third pool. He's demonstrated those things. And what did the angel start his ministry by telling him? That if you get the people to believe you, nothing will stand before you, not even cancer. Before your prayer, right? So there you have it. Moving into a realm where all enemies have to fall before you. Amen. That's what the angel told Brother Brennan. And so God proves, God likes to prove his people. I was reading this and all over the Bible, just over and over, he would, even like when the manna fell, God says, okay, they murmured. So God said, okay, I'm going to let manna fall. And he said, now, I'm going to prove whether or not you'll listen to what I'm saying and follow my commandments. You go out there and you pick this up every day, and on the sixth day you get twice as much because you're going to have enough for that in the Sabbath. Just that right there, just something that simple that say, hey, just go out there every day and pick it up. But they couldn't even do that right. And God said, and all through there, he likes to prove. And so don't think he doesn't prove us. Because he has brought us to this word, and he's given us commandments of this day of embracing this whole message. And he says, now I'm going to test you and prove whether or not you're going to hold to this. I'm going to let things happen. Things are going to come. It's not going to be the best. You know, you're going to have days. And I'm just going to prove whether or not that you will revert to this when you go through trials. Because when you go and you get out here and you begin to murmur and you begin to say, oh, things aren't exactly right, it's so easy to go back to carnal life rather than saying, but the promise. So hold to the promise. And so God is going to test you and try you. And you have to understand, we have to love the Lord with all our hearts.
Right.
That doesn't mean love his gifts. We love his gifts, okay? I want to show you there's a difference between the Lord and his gifts. And if people have made the mistake of thinking his gifts is him. He's not the gift. Right? He's just a giver of a gift. And this is a mistake, especially Pentecost. They think that the restoration of the gifts, but that you can have that and not have the person. So we have to love the Lord, who is the revealed word. We have to love him with all our hearts. And he has to test and prove us to see whether or not we do love him with all our hearts. And one way that he does that is he lets an environment come where there are supernatural things going on, even in the midst of error from his word.
Right.
To see whether or not we love him. Because there's so many people out there, we got healings, we got this, and tongues, and prophecy, and all that, and they're anti-word. So God said, so we're going to read it. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. We've read this before. 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. And if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Get this picture. So God is going to let a prophet or spiritual come along, and he's going to prophesy, and he's going to give you, and it's going to come to pass. Follow me? It's going to come to pass. But his message is going to be, hey, we're going to do something different. We're going to serve other gods. Right? So, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or of that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether or not you love the Lord your God with all your heart or with all your soul. And ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So false anointed ones at the end time. See why they had to come out? Because we're living in the hour where God has to test us to see whether or not we love him. Even above and beyond gifts, if the gifts are being manifested with a message telling you to do something wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Amen?
Right.
It's right there in the Bible. And here we are today. So we have to love the Lord with all our hearts. The revealed word that God is living through his people now, bringing the revelation of Jesus Christ current, that you love that with all your heart. Saying this, for every situation you go through, there is a promise of God in the Bible for that situation.
Right.
Everyone. It's our job to be diligent, to let this word be in our minds all the time, meditate upon it day and night, teach it to our children, so that in those crucial hours, when those times come and we're at the Red Sea and we need God to do a miracle, that we'll believe and not cry. We'll stand there and speak and go forward. Amen. There is a promise in God's word for no matter what you go through. You say finances, there's word for it. Sickness, there's word for it. Trouble, there's word for it. You need to, you need something to happen on your job. There's a word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's, it's, it, as there, as we know, if there's a, there's a question, there's a Bible answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a Bible promise for everything we need. You need a body change? There's a word for it. You need your wayward children to come? There's a word for it. Right?
Right.
See what I'm saying? Maybe do this. Maybe sit down sometime, maybe right away, just when you get home tonight. Sit down and make a list of everything that you could possibly think of that you might would need from God in this hour. I need my children saved. I need my loved ones saved. I need healing for my body. I need healing for my spouse. I need financial, you know. And remember, with all that, there's things you got to do too. You ask God to help you with your finances, but you don't pay tithes. You know what I'm saying? So just make a list of all, and go find it. And if you don't know what it is, come to me or Brother Daniel. We'll tell you. We'll give you the scriptures of what promises of God cover these things, and write those down and post that on your door.
Right.
Put it in your car on your dash so you can look down at it when you're stopped at a stop. You understand? Do something to get these promises before you so you remember them. Because God won't fail if we'll just hold to this word. Amen? And he's already shown it. That's what he was telling Israel. Look, you've seen what I did. You've seen how I brought on an idea. So can I not take you on further? Yes, he can take us on further. Amen. So the God that has begun a good work in you, he will finish it. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's let the musicians come. We'll just pray for a moment, and then we'll let you go. Amen. Open our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you didn't leave us drifting away down here in this age of Laodicea. Your word has become so rich and so full and so true. All these issues we see in the world, Lord, they were right there in Genesis, and here they are before us now. It helps us to know, Lord, that this is your word as it's coming to pass and unfolding itself in ways that we've never, just couldn't even fathom, Lord. And you're proving to us, Lord, that these things are so. And so, Lord, I just pray a special blessing upon this group and those that will be listening, Lord. Help us to believe these things, to get into sync with them, allocate them into our lives, Lord, so that we give you something you can bless, something you can multiply. I ask, Lord, that you touch each one, young and old, these little ones here, Lord. I know that these things, they probably wouldn't understand them, but Lord, but in this presence, if your word going forth, I just pray that you stick something down into their hearts, Lord, that'll help them grow and come closer to you. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Pray for you.